and just be in preparation for that as we look forward to what's going to happen here next Wednesday through the following Sunday morning. So what I want to do tonight is begin by just going over the folks who are on this prayer list, our missionaries tonight, because we don't often on Wednesday night mention them. Mrs. Nisley just made a statement about, you know, folks on the spiritual list. I guess we should focus on different sections of the prayer list from evening to evening, and we'll probably try to do that more and more, but I want to focus tonight on our missionaries. I'm going to begin by reading a few prayer letters. Now, we don't normally do this on Wednesday nights, but tonight I'm going to, even though we don't have pictures or information on the screen, just decided to do this. One of the missionaries that we currently have on our prayer list, we added her a few weeks ago, or maybe last week, is Kim Lewis. Our missionaries there in New Zealand, and she has had a discovery of cancer. So I just want to read this to you from her husband. It says, Kim's oncology appointment, we were dumped with a lot of information on top of what we had researched. And see, these are some of the things that they found out. The cancer in her appendix was called low-grade appendiceal mucinous neoplasm, or it's called LAMN, LAM, I guess. It's a rare one in a million cancer. There is no cure, and it has, and it had been under trials and tests with Johns Hopkins, so it is a blessing to have one doctor in New Zealand that deals with this and the tumors that result going forward. So I've never heard of this cancer. Anybody ever hear of that before? I have never heard of that cancer before. I've never heard of cancer in the appendix. It's strange. This cancer is not curable. No chemotherapy helps because it is not effective for this cancer cell. There is also no blood test or other test to detect what the cells are currently doing. Detection now is only through routine scans looking for another tumor called jelly belly. Her first scan is in 4 months, then in 6 months, then routine scans for the long term. Jelly belly is a very rare cancer that usually begins in the appendix, as Kim's did. They removed her appendix without it bursting, so the cells will be minimal. So I guess from this rare cancer in the appendix, these smaller cells of cancer called jelly belly begin to move through the system. If they did not catch this, then these tumors would have gone throughout her abdomen and nothing could be done if that happened. God allowed them to find this on a CT scan for an unrelated issue. This type of cancer is slow growing and makes a jelly or jelly-like liquid called mucin. Eventually, it spreads into the tissue around the abdomen and the jelly belly tumors grow. Because it is slow growing, there is manageable treatment that is effective, though not curable. When tumors are detected, they do surgery and what is called hot chemo directly to the tumor. Routine scans will continue for life since this is not curable. Good news as far as the insurance issue. Of course, you know, New Zealand is a socialized system, much more so than the United States even. It says our supplemental health insurance covers this 100% here in New Zealand and ensures we do not get put onto any lengthy social medicine waiting list. We were surprised Kim got an oncologist appointment in a matter of days compared to months. The word cancer has and has our minds on edge, and even with the manageability and not being life-threatening, anxiety is high. We value your prayers, and we are trusting God who is in control. So the good news is, as far as her cancer, it apparently is not life-threatening because they were able to get the appendix out and those other jelly bellies, as they call them, were not spread throughout her abdomen. So that's good news. I remember when they were here with us the last time, and that's been a number of years ago, they had mentioned her health, and I don't think they went into a lot of specifics. She has always had health issues, so keep praying for Kim in that particular way. And then we're going to jump to this continent, up into the far reaches of northern Canada and the Hollands. It says, It's hard to believe we are 3 months into 2021. We are so thankful for your faithful prayer and financial support. Well, it looks like we will be adding a new member to our family this September. Of course, this is a few months old as far as that part goes. Praising the Lord for Jesse and Maisie's engagement. We are so thankful that God has given each of our children their special someone that loves the Lord. Jesse comes from a wonderful, godly family, and we are excited to see what God has in store for Jesse and Maisie. After 2 weeks of self-isolation in Alberta and then 2 weeks in the Northwest Territories, we arrived at our home in Norman Wells to find it nice and toasty. We are very thankful for the gentleman who washed our house while we were gone. The only hitch was a frozen sewer pipe that showed itself when we started running water and things backed up. After hours of trying to find the blockage, we found that the sewer pipe that runs into our sewer tank was frozen. I looked in the tank and thought, I can get in there. So I got my ladder and climbed down into the tank. I do hope the tank was empty. He does not say that, but anyway, got down into the tank. I proceeded to chip away at the ice in the pipe. I heard gurgling, and I got out of there ASAP, laugh out loud. So apparently he got the blockage taken care of. Now remember, they are in the very top of Canada, up among the Saulteaux Indians, very kind of desolate area, bitterly cold and dark much of the year. So it's not the nicest place in the world. Anyway, ministry update. We've been back at it now for a few months, and we are very thankful for our folks that come out to service each week. I know I've mentioned this in the past, but it bears repeating. When working in a pioneer ministry, it's not uncommon to do more ministry work outside the church house. It takes many hours of listening and imputing scripture when the opportunity arises. It also requires a lot of patience. We are praising the Lord. Doors continue to open ever so slightly, but they are opening. We had two folks come to church Sunday night that are regulars at the Catholic Church. It's so exciting when folks like them walk through our door. It's hard not to preach from Genesis to Revelation while they are in our service, but for obvious reasons, we can't do that. Now, I like to do that, preach from Genesis to Revelation, but anyway. I lost my place. That's not good. All right, there are others that continue also, or to allow us to share a little more with them. Please pray the eyes of these folks and others will be opened. They are so blinded by false religion and have a hard time understanding the true gospel. It's all about works to them. If I've quoted Ephesians 2:8-9 once, I've quoted it 100 times. One of these times it's going to sink in, and we are trusting it will happen soon. The Lord's return is imminent, and we are praying for the harvest of northern souls. So again, much of their ministry there in Saulteaux is to the Indians. And so there's a lot of spiritual oppression, a lot of spiritual darkness, and salvations are very few and far between. And so they've been there now probably about 8 years, maybe a little bit longer. And they're just faithful. They kind of remind me of what we read about historically with Adoniram Judson. When he went to Burma, he was there for several years, lost all of his family, spent time in jails and prisons, never saw one convert. And then over his faithfulness, the Lord just opened the storehouses of blessing. And today you can go to Burma and still find churches, villages, that Baptist churches that are there because of what Judson did back in the 1800s. And it's pretty amazing. So really pray for the Hollands that they will just continue to walk by faith and not get discouraged without seeing immediate results. A lot of us get discouraged when you don't see results right away. And so for them, it's, you know, very important that they be able to just maintain a strong walk with the Lord. So we go from New Zealand, the bottom of the planet, up to the other side of the world in North America. Now we go back to the 1040 window. I'm not going to mention the name of the country because we are live streaming. So for their sake, we won't mention the country they're in. We'll just refer by their first names, Johnny and Emily. Says, we are very excited and delighted to let you know that 12 people accepted Christ and obeyed the Lord in baptisms. This is a result of 40 days continuous prayers held in our church for revival. Certainly the Holy Spirit has convicted many hearts for salvation. We have entered into an extremely hot summer this year. The temperatures have already hit 110. On the other side, the official numbers for COVID-19 cases are hitting 250,000 every day. Unofficially, this could be 10 times more, which is approximately 2.5 billion a day. In the country they're in, there's not much safeguard. There's not much procedure done to defend people against the COVID. It is spreading very fast into every pocket of the country. The officials say that it is going to peak in the month of May. That's amazing. Possibly 2.5 million a day, and it hasn't even peaked yet. Please pray for us as we brace ourselves to go through the second wave of COVID-19. We received limited permissions to open up educational institutions, but were revoked due to the second wave again. We are planning to open up the college for the next summer in June. Please pray that everything would go smoothly to reopen our college. We are very thankful for all your kind donations toward the library project, and he goes on to just mention the library and different ministries have helped them to get that redone for their college there. So we've looked at the Southern Hemisphere with New Zealand, North America, and then back into the 1040 window. We have missionaries literally on every continent with the exception of Antarctica. So the reach of Grace Baptist Church truly, by your faithful giving to missions, extends to all the world. It really does. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for your willingness to support missionaries. And of course the finances are a needed help to the missionaries. But the thing that is needed far more, and you know, you hear this and you wonder sometimes the legitimacy of the statement when it comes from a missionary, but I believe they're sincere when they say this: far greater than the financial support is the need for prayer support. And I want to go over a couple passages with you tonight as we anticipate next week. The first is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So I want you to go first. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I just want you to read with me these first two verses. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul, he was a missionary. I guess we could say a missionary evangelist. He was responsible for starting many churches in many different areas and had the privilege of having a ministry team with him that traveled into Asia Minor and into the southern parts of Europe and had designs of going into Spain across the Mediterranean. I don't think he ever got there, as far as we know. Of course, there in the Middle East as well. And he did a great job for the Lord, but you know the history. You've studied the history book, the book of Acts, and you know the constant dogging and persecutions that the Apostle Paul went through. And so as he is doing his missionary work, those three different missionary journeys, this was his request. He said, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for myself and Timothy and Luke and all those who accompanied him in his missionary work. He said, pray for us. And he said, there are two reasons I want you to pray. Number one, in verse one, he said that God's word would have free course. You pray that God's word will have nothing that will hinder it from being able to get to the hearts and minds of the people that we're seeking to minister to. Now, money can't buy health for Kim Lewis. Money cannot encourage a discouraged spirit like sometimes the house go through, or not the house, but the Hollands there in northern Michigan, or northern Michigan. If I lived in Michigan, I'd be really discouraged too. Northern, southern Michigan, it wouldn't matter. In northern Canada. Really, when I say that's a dark place spiritually, that's the way I think they would describe it if they were here. Very few people saved. I think alcoholism among the Indian populations is rampant. You know, spiritual darkness, demonic forces that people go toward is rampant. You can imagine how easy it would be to be constantly in a dark, cold climate and really no one to fellowship with and very few people that ever get saved. And they need something more that money cannot buy, and that is people lifting them up before the Lord to keep them encouraged in Christ. I could name to you some missionary families that we have supported, some who are now off the field, some who are still on the field that have had children who have become wayward. And that's a major thing that happens among missionary families. Their children get discouraged. I'm thankful All Points Missions now has a project called the Heirloom Project. And they minister to missionary kids. That's their goal. They just minister to missionary kids to help them. Like when they come back to the States for their college education, those type of things, sometimes there's no way to keep a child in country even during high school days, so they'll send it back to a relative in the United States. And as you know this, talk to missionaries, it is very difficult to adjust. I don't know what you folks went through when you came back from South Africa, but there is a great adjustment, especially for children. And it's a difficulty. In money, you know, we may support these folks financially, but money doesn't resolve a child who's wayward and discouraged. Money doesn't soothe a grieving family. About a month ago, the Wanzers, Victoria Wanzers' grandmother died. And so, you know, they're in Hawaii, so she boarded a plane and came back to Tennessee, you know, to be there for that. You know, those kind of things. Remember the Letts, you know, for years their parents struggled and they actually had to leave Australia for a short period of time to come home to take care of their parents because their parents were near death and they had to have care. Both sets of parents. It was a very strange situation. You know what? Money doesn't fix that, does it? But your prayers can. Your prayers can uplift missionaries so that they can keep going, so that they can continue to minister. A lot of our missionaries are in situations where there are corrupt governments. My daughter-in-law's parents are missionaries, been there now for, I don't know, 27, 28 years there in South Africa, and they have a Marxist government and corrupt police forces. I bet you guys experienced that as yourself. And when we have the Byerleys here, they're going to South Africa, and I'm sure that they will experience those things too. You know, money doesn't resolve that, but prayers for safety can. And this is my point. I think when a missionary stands in this pulpit, and you'll hear it next week from the Shreves and the Byerleys, and you'll hear it from our own missionaries, the Claudios, and they say, if the Lord would lead you to take us on, we'd love that, but please, if you don't, would you please pray for us? You know what? They mean that. They mean that. Because those things that I just mentioned, money cannot solve, and money cannot help. But the prayers of the saints can. So here's Paul. Now, you can go in Paul's life and look at the book of 2 Corinthians, and you can look at Philippians chapter 4, and he deals with the money aspect. The money aspect of needing that financial support to even do his ministry 2,000 years ago. How much more so today? But here, Paul says there's something far more important. I just need your prayers. He said, you pray for us, number one, that God's word would have free course, that nothing would hinder the word of God. You know, we don't really face that a whole lot around here. I was thinking today, there's been a couple of occasions in our area where we have gone to places. We had one incident where the police came in and said, you have to leave. You cannot be here ministering here. We will not allow it. And that really shocked me for the Bridgeport area. Nevertheless, that happened. Another area, we were out, and a guy came out of the office. It was an apartment complex, and I've been in there bunches of times just because we've had people visit from that apartment complex and go to individually visit. So I said, hey, we'll just take our folks up there. We'll just go door to door, and got through most of it. And this guy coming out of the office just cursing and screaming and hollering and said, you know, all kind of nice things, and then said, get out. You know, those things rarely happen here, don't they? But that's not necessarily true in other countries. I won't mention who they are, but in one particular country, if you're caught evangelizing, it's an automatic 5-year prison sentence for foreigners too. After you serve your 5 years in prison, and you wouldn't want to serve the 5 years in this country. No. Then you must pay a fine, you know, thousands of dollars, and then they kick you out of the country. So before they kick you out, you have to go to prison for 5 years and then pay financially, and then they kick you out just for evangelizing in this country if you're caught. Now, we support a family in that country, and they just continue on, and they don't let anything hinder them. Your prayers are necessary for these people to continue their ministry so that the word of God is not hindered, because if they're sitting in a prison cell, the gospel's not going to get out, at least not to the villages or towns where they had gone to minister. People need your prayer. Secondly, you notice in verse 2, it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. In other words, from those unbelievers that would do everything they can to hinder us. I think about Joe Wynn and Kella, they're in Mexico. They're in not Mexico City like Enoch and Ariel are, but they're in a more northern city or area, and it is an area of the drug cartel. And there are a lot of unreasonable, wicked men among the drug cartels. In fact, they're all unreasonable, wicked men. And it doesn't impress a drug cartel member that you happen to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They really could care less. They just see you as some foreign invader in their territory, and if they have to take you out, they'll take you out. We're going to have a missionary here in May. We've had him here once before, and he asked to come back, and I follow the guy. His name is Mike Wallace. His wife is Mary. They're close to my age, might be a few years older than I am. And the guy went to Mexico City and just started from scratch and faced all kind of threats and issues there and just built a really good church. And now he's going back for a second term to build another church. And many times he will get van loads of tracts, and he'll come up here. Maybe it's the Faith Prayer and Tract League or Bearing Precious Seed, and they'll print tracts for him. And he drives from Mexico City to the border. No one's supposed to do that, because drug cartels stop people all the time and kill them. And his attitude is, well, we need the tracts. It's too expensive to fly them down, so we'll just trust the Lord to take us up and bring us back. You know what? He's done it several times. I think one reason that he finds God's hands upon him, because there are people who constantly pray for Mike and Mary Wallace, and God gives them that safety. Your prayers are important so that these people would see God's word, be able to have success without hindrance, and that they would themselves be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Now, this thought came to mind. Who wrote this? The Apostle Paul wrote this. And I'm thinking, when I'm reading this, when I go back to the book of Acts and look at his missionary journeys, he was constantly dogged by unreasonable and wicked men. And he was constantly beaten. And he was constantly imprisoned. He was constantly threatened. And the thought came across my mind, did God not answer his prayer? He said, you pray that God will deliver me from unreasonable and wicked men. But when you read the book of Acts, it almost appears that God chose not to answer that, at least not in the way that Paul desired. But then you go, and when you look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is basically Paul's farewell. Paul knows he is about to be executed. He will not be delivered from unreasonable, wicked men where he's at this point. He's going to lose his life, and he knows it. But I want you to begin to read with me in verse 9. But they that will be rich... Whoops, I'm in the wrong... I'm in 1 Timothy. That's not going to help you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. You know, if I knew I was about to die, I don't think I'd be worrying about books or a cloak. Pretty amazing man. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. Now remember the prayer to the church of Thessalonica. You pray that the word of God will have recourse. Well, here's a man who tried to hinder the word of God and apparently had some success at it. He prayed, you ask God to deliver us from unreasonable wicked men, and yet he's in a prison cell being readied for execution. But notice Paul's attitude, verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a man who is constantly imprisoned, beaten several times, left for dead on different occasions, and now in 2 Timothy 4, he is at his final location before execution. But to him, he said, God has delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. That's a pretty amazing statement when you think about what he asked for the church at Thessalonica to pray for him. And you can go back through the history of people who have served God, not only in this country, but of course across the world, and the things that have befallen them, and realizing that sometimes the terrible things that befall believers are all within God's will. It's an amazing statement in the book of Acts when it said it was that Jesus Christ was crucified according to the foreknowledge of his Father. The Father planned it. So, would it be right for me, as I reasoned this afternoon in my mind, that God did not really answer Paul's prayer? And I would say, absolutely not. He did not fail Paul. What would have happened, and how shortened would have his ministry have been, had he not had the saints praying for him? How limited and short would have ministry been had the saints not fought in prayer for his sake? You know, we look at things with our human eyes. We see the things that befall us right now. We have no idea the spiritual battles and warfare that's going on around us, and the things that God, you know, is doing to open doors and sometimes to close doors in his will. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? That thought came to mind, and I just thought, wow. One other passage, and then we'll close tonight here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's another passage that speaks about prayer, the importance of prayer for these who are ministering, especially what we call the mission field. Ephesians chapter 6, familiar verses to you. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, the next two words, in bonds. that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Even Paul struggled sometimes to be the witness and the mouthpiece for God that he was to be. Even the Apostle Paul sometimes had to come up those thoughts of fear. And so he said to the church at Ephesus, "Will you please pray for me that I will have boldness?" He said, I know this is my lot. This is what God has allowed in my life. I am the ambassador in bonds. That's not the kind of title that I would want, you know. You know, I like the thing called the Prince of Preachers for, you know, Charles Spurgeon and, you know, things like that. Those are lofty kind of, you know, titles. I don't think I'd want the title of the ambassador in bonds, because that means you're suffering all the time. So he said, you pray for me. You pray that I'll have boldness to keep saying what needs to be said no matter what kind of suffering I have to go through. And what's amazing about this passage is this is all dealing with spiritual warfare. And you know the passage. You know the passage. You know, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality." You know that passage. And you know all the armor, with maybe the exception of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is actually both literal and physical, or literal and spiritual. Every other piece of armor is a spiritual application: the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and so forth. And he includes in that spiritual armor prayer. But you know what he does not include? Money. Now, my hope is that when we come to the end of May, when we have collected all the faith promise slips, all that, that we'll be able to take on some more missionary families. I just think it's a hoot when we can do that. You know, I hate having missionaries come in and present their ministries and tell them, "Oh, we really can't support you." Now, we try to treat all the missionaries first class. We really do. Whether they're just here on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. And like Friday night, we have a missionary couple. They're an older couple that have been 41 years in Kenya. And now they're starting a brand new ministry in Liberia. They're going from East Africa to West Africa. And so they say, "You know, we're in the COVID thing, and there's kind of some hindrances, but we're ready to go to Liberia." And, you know, they've been on the field for 41 years. Like, are you supposed to retire now? You know, but no. So they're not speaking here. They're just passing through, going somewhere up north, and they heard about our missions house, and they said, "Would you mind if we stayed one night?" And I said, "Sure." You know, to me, it's a thrill. Missions is a thrill. And being able to help people is a thrill. And I can honestly say this, and I bet a lot of you feel this way. Every missionary that walks through these doors, I wish we could support. I really do. So, you know, I want to be able, at the end of our missions conference and at the end of gathering up all the folks who have committed by faith promise, whatever they're going to give for this next year, I hope we can look and say, "Oh, we can take on some more missionaries." I hope that happens. But whether or not that happens, I do know this. We can support these missionaries by a more vital way, and that is prayer. Prayer. And I'm dead serious. We can support these people by prayer. And that's one of the reasons, you know, we do this. That we have a prayer list. Because we support 45 plus missionaries right now. Plus, on the very back page, we list the folks who have been part of our church who are now out in ministry. So if you look at the last page where it says ministry from Grace Baptist Church, you have Dan and Valerie Cook, who are at Spotswood Baptist there in Spotsville, Virginia. It's right outside of Fredericksburg. You have Brad and Kim Harris. You know, he's been in evangelism and now is a field representative for Bob Jones University. You have Dan and Jennifer Landre, who pastor P. Ridge Baptist down in the Huntington area. Have Doug and Jill Packard, who were, you know, here in our church for about 5 years at First Baptist of Lock Haven in Pennsylvania. Dave and Connie Seabolt at Hope Baptist in Gloucester, Virginia. Doug and Terry Simmons, of course, he was on staff here for a while, and he is a hospice chaplain, and they have several other ministries there in Florence, South Carolina. Matt and Lori Stribling, who have, I'll be honest, I haven't kept up with them like I need to. They were trying to go start a church in Oregon. I'm not sure if they're able to get that done or if they're still in South Carolina. And then, of course, Enoch and Ariel, we list them on our missionary list and here because, you know, Ariel spent a number of years here. And, you know, those are part of our ministry. And I consider those, as we should, like an extension of this church in other areas. And pray for those folks. And then we have our own missionaries. And I just wanted to give you a quick update on a couple of these before we go to prayer tonight, because this is what I want you to do. I know we tend to pray for, you know, the health things, and we should. And we should call these people out by name. But I want you to focus tonight, if you would, really on missionaries tonight. Right at the top, Gerald and I and Boffman, his brother Claire was a missionary for 30-plus years to northern France. And he came home on furlough and died of COVID. So Gerald lost his brother. And then they have two nephews they've asked prayer for, Corey and Ross, who are unsaved. Both their parents were killed, and they've asked over the years for Corey and Ross to be prayed for. I won't go over everybody, but Fred and Beth Bennett, of course, ministering to the Jews, and their son David is not where he needs to be spiritually, and has been that way for several years, and they've asked us to pray for David. Jump down to Mike and Cindy Burgett. Both their sons, William and Jonathan, grew up on the mission field. Of course, I've known the Burgett family for years. His father was one of my instructors at Baptist University in Atlanta. And Mike and Cindy have been there, how many years, Mrs. Nisley? We started supporting them right when the church started, I think, didn't we? So they've been there at least 40, yeah. So it's a long time. And they continue on, and both their sons have gone back to serve in Japan. One of the sons' wife's name is Tabitha, and she has severe MS, very bad. You know, they made the decision to go back and serve the Lord, and then she gets there and has MS, and it's very bad. And Cindy has gone through recent surgeries and just needs lifted up in prayer. Bruce and Lisa, of course, Bruce has, you know, the heart disease. He has this issue with cholesterol that never stops, even though he's as fit can be. You know, he's an athletic guy. He runs all the time, that kind of stuff. It's not a chronic thing, but anyway, his body mass produces cholesterol, so that's always going to be an issue. Plus, he has pancreatitis. Plus, he has fibromyalgia and just a lot of things that Bruce is carrying. And plus, you know, they have a very important ministry. They are producing literature to get into the Hispanic world for pastors and theologians to train the Hispanic world in right doctrine. And that's something that's very lacking, so that's a big deal. Barry and Judy Byrne, they're basically retired, but she had COVID here a while back, and you know she struggles once in a while with the after effects of living in Africa with the malaria that will sometimes strike. A.B. and Barbara Childs, you know, he has been beaten. He's come close to losing an eye and losing a kidney. I honestly, without mentioning the name of their country, do not know how he does what he does, because he's very, very bold about it. Has several churches that they have started, but he's willing to pay a price, and he has. He's paid a tremendous price physically, and they need God's protection constantly. Glenn and Tammy Clouser, they're going to be with us here in 1 week. They'll go back to Spain, and now both their children, Levi and Grayson, are now in the United States. You know, they've grown past that childhood state, and so that's another thing a missionary has to face, separation. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, my kid got married and he's living, you know, over there in Fairmont or Morgantown. You know, we don't get to see him a lot, but we get to see him once in a while. They're separated by an ocean, so they don't get to see their families. I think in those terms. There's all kind of things. Go down toward the bottom, Michael Shaver, of course, he's a widower. Now, he's with All Points Baptist Missions. And I talked to Robbie Morrison, and Robbie said he still plans to go to Iceland. And he has 5 small children, just widowed for now about 3 or 4 months. And he's still determined to go to Iceland. And it's like, there's no way. There's just no way he can do that. And there are some logistical issues that are going to have to be worked out. So this is the way you need to pray for him. One, that God would keep his heart tender toward the Lord. Secondly, that God would provide a means for him to be able to care for those children while still fulfilling the call that God's given to him. And he's bound and determined to do it. That just amazes me. I'll be honest before you. I don't know that I could do that. I really don't. So that's pretty impressive. Dolores Woods, you know, she's been a missionary down in Sao Paulo, Brazil for decades, along with her family. I think her parents were missionaries there, and of course they have died. So she has a brother named Dan and his wife Valerie, and they minister to the Jews there in Sao Paulo. So they don't just deal with the COVID virus, they deal with things like the Zika virus. Brazil is a hotbed for the virus right now, and so they need prayer for protection. I mentioned about Joe and Kelly Wynn being in the middle of a drug cartel area. Bob Yater is dealing with a brain tumor. It's a benign brain tumor, but it's pressing there where a lot of the glands are controlled, and unless that brain tumor shrinks, you know, obviously it's greatly affecting him. So he needs that continued prayer. Dave and Elizabeth Wilt, missionaries in Staten Island, New York, he's been dealing with COVID. So he needs prayer. Mentioned Victoria Wanzer, who lost her grandmother here recently. So there's all kind of things that we could go on. Just every missionary has special needs. And, you know, try to do this. Try to have at least one time a week where you just call missionaries out by name and don't just say, God bless the missionaries. There's nothing necessarily wrong with saying that. But when they say to you, we covet your prayers, they actually mean it. They actually mean it. And while money is necessary to get to the field, like I said earlier, money doesn't heal a broken heart. Money doesn't heal a broken body. Money doesn't restore a wayward child. But prayer does. Prayer does. So as we get ready to see these missionaries come in, by the way, we'll have children's church every night. All the missionaries have agreed to help with it. Mrs. Mock is actually a ventriloquist, and so I've asked her to do some stuff while she's here. So we'll have some fun with this as well. They all are talented people. They sing and things like that. So we'll just have a good time next week in preparation for this. But tonight, let's pray for the conference that God would use it. And as God brings different people here that we've mentioned among the missionaries, that you would spend time praying for them especially. And listen, you mentioned other things, that's fine, that's no problem at all. But let's really focus on our missionaries tonight and just ask God to prepare our hearts for what's going to happen here with the missions conference next week. So let's go ahead and we'll pray together, and then we'll divide up and pray as the Lord leads you tonight. Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being in this place. And just for a moment, focus on Haley. Lord, we thank you that she's been part of our van ministry and our teen ministry over these years. And Lord, while we hate to see children move away, and she's no longer a child, she's a young adult now, we ask that you would protect her, that you would direct her and her the other relatives that she'll be with. I ask, Lord, that you would work in her to find the right church and that she would honor you with her life. Lord, just encourage her and her family. And then tonight, we ask that as we go to prayer, that you be pleased to answer the prayers of your people and just prepare our hearts as well as our missionary guest for our upcoming conference, and that you would bless it and that we would anticipate it, especially through prayer. And Lord, we'll thank you for what's done tonight. Lord, just bless your people as we leave here in a few moments. Lord, help us to live for you and honor you this week. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead to prayer.